All right, this is the 9th of, what is this, April? March, April, yeah, this is the 9th of April, 2020, from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, and from Dayton, Ohio. I have on the line a pastor friend of mine. I thought that two pastors would have a discussion about this coronavirus. Pastor James Washington is pastor of the Phillips Temple Church in the Dayton area, and we're going to have a discussion about the coronavirus. Good morning, James.
How are you, my friend? My friend is, I don't know how many years now, we've met in seminary back in 1987?
Something like that.
Theology.
Yes.
Yeah.
Something like that.
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing fine. It's a cloudy, rainy day here in Los Angeles, and I thought it important for us to talk. How are the people back east? What's going on back there?
Unfortunately, I would say that, like we see all over the country, people have been gripped with fear. I think fear is driving the politics of our day, driving the economics of our day, driving the response to this pandemic. It's fear. So I believe that even in the church, what I probably what has given me the most angst is how fearful I've seen God's people be over something like this. Even in a congregation where, you know, I've been there almost 30 years now, and I know that I've worked hard at preaching the gospel, and
what do you tell a person that thinks that their fear is justified? Because now you're seeing, in some cases,
I tell them the truth: fear is never justified, especially when you know God, especially when you have embraced biblical truth. We should fear absolutely nothing. Look at Psalm 46. Look at Psalm 91. Look at 2 Timothy 4, all Romans 8. There is absolutely no reason to be afraid of anything.
Right. Right.
So and the problem, if there's fear, is because we don't have faith in God. Our faith in God is not what it should be, because faith in God will drive out all fear.
Well, for sure.
So what if we die, we go to heaven. That's the truth. We love this world too much.
Ah.
We live as though we have come here to live forever, and the Bible clearly tells us that our citizenship is in heaven.
Okay. I mean, that is the message that we are to carry to our people, and that's a wonderful message, and it's true. It's a biblical message.
And we keep proclaiming it, even though it may not be received, because in truth, we have nothing else to give it.
You're correct. How do you equate these times to the times that has been prophesied in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, Ezekiel, the book of Revelation, in the New Testament? How do you equate these times? In your estimate, are we living pre-rapture, post-rapture? What?
Okay, that's a great question, John. Let me answer it in a couple ways. Number one, when we look at church history, people have looked at the end days in there have been different periods where different views have been in place. The amill, pre-mill,
right,
post-mill, post-trib, in various times of history. They have been, for example, Luther was amillennialist. Calvin, amillennialist. The pre-trib rapture came back really probably in the after 1850 and so, that sort of thing. I have always taught what I believe the scripture plainly teaches, and that is that the church will be raptured before the tribulation period.
Is there a possibility that, because I taught that also, but is there a possibility that we were wrong?
There is a possibility. Sure.
No.
But to me, when you deal with the end times, when we look at post-world, when we look at other biblical judgments of the whole world, God's people were always rescued out before. Revelation 3:10 tells us that God will keep the church from the time of testing that is to come upon the whole earth. To me, that is probably the strongest pre-trib text. He's writing to the churches in Asia, and he tells the church that they will be kept from the time of testing. Not any time, but the time of testing.
So if that's true, you might work under the proposition that this is a testing time, or this is not a testing time.
This is not the 70th week. This is not the day of the Lord. It is not the 70th week of Daniel.
And how would
but
you?
It's a precursor to it.
But does the Bible teach a precursor?
Well, I believe it does. When you look at, Paul had to tell the church in Thessalonians two times in two different letters not to be persuaded that the church had been raptured. So even in the days of Paul, there was thought that somehow that believers had missed the rapture.
That's a good text. That's a good text and an excellent argument, because that's exactly what was taking place there in Thessalonica.
We have not seen this. We have not. We've been in this place, maybe not like this, but as this before.
Should the church be, I'm looking for the right word, should the church be concerned about this issue right now? What do we do during this pandemic? We're pastors, and we have an obligation to talk with spiritual people that exude this spiritual energy. What would be the best way to speak with our people, especially when you have the younger pastors, James, that feel like they want to meet with their people, but it's dangerous to meet, and we don't want to see our people incarcerated or fined.
All right. Check this out.
Go ahead.
Let me kind of give it to you. I believe when we look past on this, we're going to say that we should have kept meeting.
Why is that?
Okay. Because I believe we've been hoodwinked and bamboozled by these scientists. This is not going to be that bad. It's never been a death-threatening disease. Most people that get it, 90% of the time get it, cases that get it, they get well. We've never heard that narrative. All we've been, the death rate. Listen, the numbers never have shown that millions of people are going to die from this. It's never been that way. We've been lied to. And I was one of the few voices who were saying that in the beginning, and I was getting shut down. I just stopped saying it. But I've never, the numbers, if you study the top 10 pandemics, this is not going to get on the top 30. More people should have been dead already.
James, I find it interesting the spread of this pandemic. And
that's true. It has spread seemingly more quickly. But perhaps also people have had this in them a long time. there are a couple of things we need to look at. If what these scientists are saying is true, the homeless population should be dying off the charts. But they're not, because of several things. They're exposed to the elements. They're always getting cut and scraped. So their immune system is strong enough to fight this thing off. There's no more close community than them. Being close together, there's nobody else better than them. So being close together may not be the issue. They're proving that an immune system is strong enough to fight this thing off.
That's a good argument. Very good argument.
Okay. So that's the first thing I looked at. I was saying this 6 weeks ago. Up to 4 weeks ago, I was saying, man, there's not enough people dying. When the homeless population is not dying, it lets us know that we can naturally fight this off. A strong immune system can fight off the virus.
Yes. Yes. And I can vouch for that, because since 2 years of my open heart surgery, my immune system is getting stronger and stronger week after week.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what I started looking for was empirical evidence that Fauci was right. Another thing, you don't remember Fauci got prominent from AIDS. That's when he was introduced into the national. This is not the first time we've seen Fauci. And he was wrong on AIDS. He's been wrong so many times.
What do you think about the nation's Surgeon General? Is Dr. Adams merely following Dr. Fauci?
Yeah, he's following Fauci. These guys don't know. Tell people, we don't know.
Well, how about the world?
But then be brave enough to say, we're not going to adopt policy stuff we do not know.
Well, what about the World Health Organization?
Same thing. They covered it up. We're giving millions of dollars to the World Health Organization. It's a freaking communist. It's an arm. I'm seeing freaking. It's an arm of this whole globalism. Watch this. They have no desire to tell us the truth because they want to control us. Truth sets people free. They're trying to control our lives. Tell us where we can go, what we can do. So they're not going to give you the truth.
Well, that makes sense. If they are a world governing body, they all think like that, the control of their citizenry. We see that happening as new African nations come up with the virus.
They're adopting the same
programs. Yes.
I didn't say this a month ago, but I said to myself, black people in America are going to suffer worse. Why? Because if you look at any social spectrum, when it comes to health, we're always at the bottom because of our lifestyle, because of our diets. We find out yesterday that well over 40% of the people that have died are black.
Yes.
If you look at the pictures, they're all overweight.
Yes.
How is that? When they show three pictures of people, I think, from the Detroit area this morning, of three black people that had died. They were all overweight.
I've been noticing that also, James, and I like to cut in and say, at this time for the past 3 years, and I've been criticized, I'm not sure whether you did or not, but I only eat one major meal a day. I did not eat all day, and I don't eat the worst kinds of foods. I'm losing weight. My metabolism is far healthier. I only eat what my body requires. And
every time we, our diet, black people, let me talk about black people, okay?
Oh, okay.
When black people, the way we eat, we destroy our immune system. Every time we eat a freaking cheeseburger, or some fries, or some macaroni, macaroni and cheese.
Right. Right.
Bacon.
Yes.
Hey, guess what? Wait a minute. I love a good piece of bacon.
I do too.
But I'm not eating bacon every day.
That's right. I only eat it maybe once a month.
Then I go get uncured bacon.
Yes.
When I eat some chicken, I eat chicken that's all natural. I try to get the natural, healthy things.
Yes.
You're exactly right. So, it's just.
We have to change our lives. Oh, James, here's a question. Do you ever think that we will get back to what was normal in this country again?
I don't know. I hope so, but I don't know. I don't like living the way we are now. I don't like not being able to hug somebody or shake somebody's hand or walk when I get ready to walk. I don't want to walk around with no doggone mask on my face. I hope this is not the new normal. I think they want it would be to the advantage of those who want to take people's freedom away for this to be a new normal. People that speak about the new normal, I right away you become in question to me. I think what we need to understand is this may be something we have to live with and just be ready for, you know, a couple hundred thousand or so people to die every year.
Every year?
And be willing to live with it.
Every year? You mean...
Well, look at... between 30 and 60,000 people die every year of the flu here in America. Every year. We just get it. We're accustomed to that. What people really need to be afraid of is the flu. Do you realize that 30,000 people die every year in America from falling? 30,000. Every year. From falling.
You mean like breaking bones in the body and suffering that?
Yeah. They fall.
Especially seniors. Seniors suffer from that.
People die. Look, check this out. 600 people every week die from falling. People die all the time. 3,000 people die every day in America. People die. Death is real. We can't avoid it.
Oh, I'm not arguing with you. I know that.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is this might, you know, it may be that 60,000 or 70,000 people die every year from this. Just like the flu. We shouldn't shut down industry behind it. We shouldn't keep people at home when we know that if you get it, you're going to get well. Unless you're black, but even if you're black, you will get well. Unless you have some other things that are going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the way you guard against that is health.
Yeah, well, that's interesting because what you're saying.
And guess what? If you get sick, you should stay at home anyway, right?
Absolutely.
Whether the virus, you should wash your hands before the virus came or not. Am I right?
Right.
These are things that we ought to be doing anyway.
Do you think that in some case there is a government conspiracy?
I don't know. I know. I don't know, John. I don't like to go off of things that I can't have any evidence from.
Yeah.
In particular.
Yeah. Okay.
But yes, it's possible.
Yeah, because
I say this is, I don't know, but I know this. for something to really shut the world down. The world economy has been shut down in a period of 4 weeks. Nobody ever saw this happen.
And that was primarily due to fear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Somebody is trying to control somebody. Otherwise, there's no reason to let fear operate. It's not so much the unknown, because we deal with unknown, with the unknown all the time.
Wow.
Not the fear of the unknown. That's not what it is. If this is something else.
Wow. All right, when is your end date? We were talking about it earlier, but I think I need other people to hear this. When do you think this is going to come to an end?
I think it's going to be more quickly than not. I would say by June we should have things rolling. Otherwise, our eschatology, I think, may be wrong.
Well, listen, James, I really appreciate your honesty.
If you look at Revelation, the very first week when they started shutting the country down, I said my subject was the coming world catastrophe. But this is not it. And I kind of did a survey of Revelation 6 through 9.
Okay.
PhillipsTemple.org.
Yes.
PhillipsTemple.org.
Thank you, because I do want people to go to that. Yeah.
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 So I did that. You have two opportunities to hear it. I had a little bit more time on the second service to do it. But I was kind of upset that Sunday because I saw... matter of fact, people said, "Why is Pastor so mad?" So I think I was maybe a little angry because I saw so much unbelief among God's people.
Oh,
so
yes.
So much fear.
Yes.
In this thing first.
That often, when I was in ministry, perturbed me also. I'd look out and see on the faces of the people discontent and unbelief, and I said, well, the only person, I would always use this phrase, the only person that I know is saved at this moment in the room is me, because I believe the word of God. But that's
so
most
people. People say that I was angry when I preached that sermon. You know what? There's some things should assault you if you're a pastor.
Yes.
Especially when you've been with people for a quarter of a century.
Yes. Yes.
So PhillipsTemple.org, look for the sermon, The Coming World Catastrophe, But This Is Not It.
Yeah, well, I'll have a lot of time today, this afternoon, so I think I'll go there and listen to the sermon. I am so glad that you called me in Los Angeles here. Ladies and gentlemen, James is in the Dayton, Ohio area, and... we need to listen to a good sermon on eschatology. I've been trying to place some things up on my website here recently to bring a sense of ease to the hearts of people, and I'm glad that I had another man of God. James and I attended the same graduate school, Talbot Theological Seminary. We were one of the few black theologues that really took serious what the meaning of the word is all about. James and I, we don't agree on everything, but we agree on most of the things about the Bible that are important. But we're not buddies in terms of everything he says I agree and everything I say he agrees. Because as I've been telling you on my website, you discover what your own belief is and then run with that. Well, James, listen. Okay.
That we agree on the apostolic doctrines of the church.
Oh, yeah.
Our disagreements on peripheral.
Yeah.
Peripheral
yeah, the peripheral things.
When it comes to the teaching of the Bible, the gospel.
Right.
Teaching about God, who God is, who the Holy Spirit is, who Christ is, the church,
yeah,
the necessities of salvation by grace through faith alone, all of that we agree on.
You know what? There was something, this last thing, we were talking about people that passed away.
We even agree on the issue of women in ministry. We both affirm that the church should be led by elders who are pastors, men,
right,
alone.
Right. The pastor of Macedonia Baptist Church in New York passed away, he and his wife. And I noticed that both of them, the pictures that they used on the internet, were extremely overweight,
yeah,
extremely unhealthy.
Yeah.
And, man, that should be a message for us. We need to curb our appetites in more ways than one.
I agree with you, John.
That's for sure. Well, James, thank you. Listen, this cast
All right.
will be up in about 30 minutes when you come to my website, and I appreciate you taking the time out this morning. We'll talk soon.
I'll call you back.
All right.
Man. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. It's good to have friends that, and he just called me from Ohio, and I asked him, would he mind doing a webcast? And I really appreciate James, and I'm constantly getting these little messages in from people all over the city and all over the country, but this was a nice phone call from Pastor Washington. Pastor James Washington's from the Phillips Temple Church in the Dayton, Ohio area, phillipstemple.org, and be sure to listen to that clip. Thank you for coming to my website, and stay sheltered in and stay sheltered under the blessed Word of God. God bless you.